No lovers in the bunker, but it is hotter than the sun. It's the Day Trippers. Well, you can't complain. There hasn't been transfer activity. Milner, Ings, Bogdan, Firmino. Now, Nathaniel Klein, with a very high likelihood of imminent Benteke. Are you not entertained?
Maybe it's roasting in here!
Maybe, like me, you're finding it hard to care after the deflation of last campaign. Well, whatever camp you're in, we'll spend a while with you talking Liverpool. Random nonsense as well. With a higher likelihood of that random nonsense. I'm Trev Downey. Joining me tonight are regular Bunker Boys, Paul Brennan, Andy Young and Phil Casey.
Oh, we're live.
Are we live?
Hey! There we go. Are you bottling it with the fucking hairband?
What?
You bottled it with the hairband?
I was about to put it back up. Yes.
These are really
this is the Periscope hairband.
That's the way we look it.
Especially
that's
for fucking radio.
Look at that thing.
Quality, isn't it?
Are these railiers?
Yeah.
Guess.
Yeah, my fella, yeah.
How much you pay for these bad boys?
You got them TK Maxx for €20.
They're mattress.
Guess.
Yeah.
Fucking guess.
I don't have the worst hair on the Day Trippers anymore.
You didn't think blokes wore guess?
No.
And you're sticking money there. What do you think of yourself?
You know, pretty. Don't make me so
Right, this has been very good so far. So can we start talking about what we wanted to talk about, which is...
What, hairbands? So, is that later? That's later on.
That's later on. We'll save especially that for the bigger crew. Okay, signings. Nathaniel Klein.
I'll be honest with you. Feedback. I've been way off the loop in terms of what's going on.
For 37 years.
I literally just couldn't care over the last 4 weeks. Can't. There's just something about this preseason.
Well, you've been concentrating very hard in getting that beard.
Yeah.
And that... hairband going. So in fairness, Paul, your initial response to Nathaniel Klein, how are you getting on?
Yeah, decent enough. Like a good player, like if he hits the ground running and keeps going, then like that's us sort of right back basically for the
first team immediate starter, isn't he?
Oh, definitely.
That's it.
Oh yeah.
What about the bigger picture? Like who's backing him up there for you? Like if we're looking at two players for every position, are you banking on Flannel to step in there, or who?
Or Mankeo? Is Mankeo staying? I've been out of the loop like Phil. Like we signed Bogdan and I just went off the radar for a week or two, so I haven't had my finger on the pulse.
But
if we're keeping Mankeo, he can play there.
Fair enough. Andy, happy enough with this Nathaniel?
Very close. Yeah. Really good signing up. Very happy. Thanks very much.
We lost 13 viewers there.
Frightened the bejesus out of them.
I'm dead happy with him.
Yeah.
Of anyone you could have got available, he's probably the best. You know, he's been, for the last couple of seasons in the league, he's been excellent. And considering what we've had at right back, you know, and even Flanagan stepping in and that, like, this is a major upgrade.
Yeah.
You know, so I think with Moreno coming into a second season and him on the right, you've got two of the best fullbacks in the league, you know, going forward and getting back around and the work rate out of pair of them. It's brilliant.
You've been very consistent in your assessment of Moreno. An awful lot of people are a bit revisionist now and saying he's
a bit shite. Yeah, I think people might have the same. Liverpool fans, once they're watching Klein, you know, week in, week out, might have the same problems with his final ball.
Okay.
The thing with Moreno, and it'll be the same for Klein, the quality of the centre-back that they have beside him will determine how well people will see them as players. Because when Moreno had Sacco beside him, you know, even playing as a wing back or playing as a full back, he looked a hell of a lot better because he had that safety net of the centre back beside him, right?
Yeah.
So it's gonna be how well can Skirtle cover Klein when Klein goes raiding up the pitch, because that's what they bought him to do. They bought him to go raiding up the pitch, right? The way, no matter what stage we've been at, we've always wanted to try and get the full backs on. You know what I mean? Even when Flannel came in at left back, we wanted Flannel to push on as a left back. I wanted to get him up the pitch. And, you know, this is what I'm... Klein's success or lack of is going to be as much to do with how good the centre-back covers him when he goes. And it's also going to have how well the midfield operates and covers that space when those players are caught up the pitch on a break.
You just want the team slowing the opposition down in that situation. When you have Johnson caught forward, you can't do fucking much because he's not coming recovery, back.
Yeah.
But when you have a player like Klein, who's one of the best around for getting back, and Moreno, who we've seen time and time again, he's brilliant for getting back around. You just see it, you hold the midfielders to slow the opposition down, and then with Sacco playing left centre back or Lovren, whoever, and then the same with Skirtle. Once they know that the player's coming back and a bit of faith and confidence, like it's going to work out pretty well.
Is it inevitable going to go back to four then, the way things are looking?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I mean, I think it was always just a stopgap formation. I don't think it's a prolonged formation by any means. I don't know, like, too many teams that keep it going for throughout the whole season.
But you could say, though, with Cloyne, if you're going to a three at the back, you've got two players who are more than capable of playing as wing backs in terms of their attacking side of the game as well. They aren't just restricted as full backs, you know what I mean? So, all in all, $12.5 million as well. That's a good price for a very promising full back that you're signing from another Premiership team.
He's not even promising, he's pretty much.
Yeah, well,
I remember saying that when we were playing three at the back, we hadn't even got in the squad, we hadn't even got a back four that you could trust. Like, I've a lot of faith in Sacco and I've a lot of faith in Moreno, but we hadn't got two players like that could complete that back four. Well, now Klein is perfect for right back, perfect for what we want to do. And you just see that need Skirtle to have a good season or bring in an upgrade. I don't think there's going to be an upgrade happening, so we're just hoping Skirtle has one of his good seasons. And all of a sudden, you have a decent back four there.
Yeah.
As long as they're screened, though,
because
there's no back four going to be any use if they've a midfield that are just, you know, constantly putting holes in.
And do we have the personnel to do that screening as is?
Don't know. It's just all going to depend on how Jan does when he goes into midfield, or how Milner does, or how Henderson. You know, like just with Gerrard gone, and we're going to see a different kind of thing.
Different dynamic.
I think the other thing is, if you look at the signings we've made, and look logically, how does that team set up? We all imagine it's going to be some type of 4-3-3 if Sturridge is fit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we're signing the big target man type centre forward, which Benteke is, which Rondon would be as well, you know, it screams that we're heading to a 4-2-3-1. It just screams that, right? So it means then, in the two that's going to be in front of that back four, you know, which one is going to be more or less the Mascherano who doesn't really push on an attack? You know what I mean? And then who's going to sit in beside him and also be an additional forward as well as a screener? Is that going to be Henderson or is it going to be Milner? Because if you try, how do we plug in Coutinho, Firmino and Oib, let's say, as
Markovic or whoever goes ahead of them, you're looking at two players. Who are they going to be?
Yeah.
I certainly hope one of them's going to be Emre Can.
Yeah.
And, you know, Milner can play forward or forward, and then Henderson is obvious.
Yeah, but I think in that if you're playing that way, Henderson and Milner will be almost interchangeable in that system, because if Milner's pushed on, you'd imagine Henderson will drop in and fill that hole. What wouldn't want to do, where we could get caught out, is if the two of them pushed on and just left Chan isolated and our two fullbacks are pushed up the pitch. However, in that event, we've played with a back three, so if you think about it logically, if Chan is being asked to screen that defence and teams break, it effectively becomes the same back three that played for a large proportion of last season.
Yeah.
And it means that, you know, he's more than capable of sitting in as the central centre-back and the two boys pushing wide.
Have you watched him in the 21s, Phil?
Yeah.
And what do you think of the
I thought the semi-final, I thought he was relatively poor in the semi-final. I thought he's been very, very good. And I thought Germany had, he primarily sat there in front of the back four and pushed no money could, but they moved their midfielders around, and we talked about it last week or the week before last, and it was almost like there's a blueprint there for if you had Henderson and Milner and Chan as your three centre mids, they're all capable of filling in different positions in that midfield, so he's not stuck as the defensive midfielder as such. If a team pushes a player onto him, you don't need to keep relying on him being the defensive midfielder. He can move forward up the pitch, drag the fella who's being put to play him and bring him back in it, and let somebody else rotate in there. And there's intelligence around it. It's how will the manager then set that up? But like, I think, yeah, look, Klein is, I think Klein, for the money that's there, given that we haven't spent more than 25 million on the two fullbacks that we brought in, I think that's decent business. To be honest with you, and we criticise for fucking mad money that we spend, but 25 million for two quality fullbacks, no issue with that.
It could easily turn out to be one of the best signings.
What did Shaw cost? Wasn't it close to
30 odd million?
So you think about that, 18 million less for,
I mean, like,
this kid
on the season that United fancied bringing Shaw in, they'd equal seasons, you know, on different sides. So, like, we've got a fantastic deal. I hate talking about the money and where there's value. Like, I mean, even if you got a player for free and he was into your 11 and he was shy, you don't think it's irrelevant.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But it's not, yeah, it's a little sweetener that you've gotten cheap.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah.
What about that, Paul? What about the idea of going back to our corner shop in Southampton and dealing with them again? Is there, you know, you remember the kind of insecurities an awful lot of people had about the transfer dealings that Liverpool had done? Is it some of it a little bit offset by the fact that we've gone back to Southampton yet again? That idea of a lack of inspiration or thoughtfulness about the
Think so, because, like, I think, like, you judge it individually. I think like it is an obvious upgrade for us. Whereas, like, yeah, we know when we were talking about bringing Lallana in for silly money and Lovren, you were kind of going, it wasn't just that you were buying from Southampton, it was the players we were buying off them and the prices we were buying at. Whereas Klein for 12 million is grand, like, because like I said, like, that could sort us out for, like, the guts of the next decade if he does work out, which he should work out. So, like, I've no problem with it going back to Southampton for, like, you know, that one sign, and it's kind of like,
if you keep going back,
yeah. Right. If you're buying them
for silly, if they're going back in now for Jay Rodriguez or something, and all of a sudden they're fucking, yeah, they're just raiding Southampton all summer, but
and Southampton are ripping the piss on the price or whatever.
Yeah. But, like, the overall, the window's being good. Like, I mean, it's a little bit of creativity. The links, at least, have been, you know, a bit more creative, and the Firmino signing has been one that people couldn't have really.
But the key one is yet to come, isn't it? This is kind of where we're going next with this little bit on the signings, Phil, is the
Barry Kanye.
No, not Barry Kanye.
All right.
The big decision. We have some chap called Beecroft, who's apparently a freelance journalist, who's talking to TalkSport today in a very knowing way, and he knows that Benteke is done, that deal is done.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah.
How close is it?
Graham said it's close.
Is it closer than close?
Yeah, yeah, it's pending.
Closer than
how much
is
the transfer gauge filled up? Is it at 99%
yet? Is it at 99% yet?
Has a fee been agreed between the two clubs, but personal terms haven't, or personal terms agreed and the fee hasn't been agreed between the two clubs?
Have we stepped up our interest?
We've ramped it up.
Okay.
So we've moved from monitoring.
We're testing the result.
We're way past monitoring. We're about to test the result.
Caring a bit.
Tabling.
Millionaires out there with a hammer.
With the tablets, like Moses. You're not helping this time.
Are we a little bit easier in our minds about Benteke signing his
No.
I'm with Paul. Like, but at this stage, I'm resigned to it. It's like,
it's going to happen.
Going to Andy's, like, when you look at the window, you're saying to yourself, no, the overall business, yeah, Firmino coming in, yeah, that's one of the really good type signings that you need to make. All we need now is a top quality centre forward. And then you're linked with Benteke, and I don't care what anyone says, he's just not a top quality centre forward, right? And that to me is the nub of it. And I hope he does well. I hope he has an impact like Heskey did in the two relatively decent seasons.
I see what you've done there.
The cleverest dig he'll ever get in his life.
And he seems so sound doing it.
I do. And then let's hope that he scores 28, 30 goals for us over the two seasons. I just
he's a fucking far better player than Heskey.
I don't think he is.
Heskey was a joke, right? Heskey was a joke. He was fucking. He scored plenty of goals, but when we were signing him, it was just a joke. And like when he left Liverpool because he got so fucking poor, he was a laughing stock everywhere he went. Heskey joke, right? But Benteke is well respected. Like, I mean, there's lots and lots of people who really fancy Benteke to kick on and be a really, really top striker. He's only 24, is it?
24.
So, like, as with a lot of strikers, their goal per game ratio isn't always great in their early 20s, and all of a sudden, like,
he's got 1 and 2, I think.
This fella suits the Premier League.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. We've got like little tricky fellas like Coutinho and Firmino now, and you know, like, you need a mixture.
Yeah,
and I mean, every Premier League team that's had a bit of success has some physical aspect to them. We don't really have a physical. Like, he's imposing, and he's going to scared the living daylights out of certain defenders.
Yeah,
because he's done it all the time for Villa. Now all of a sudden he's with Liverpool, who probably create a lot more chances for him. I mean, people are talking about he won't play onto the Coutinho's runs, or he won't play onto Firmino's passes, like, you know, all these type of clever moves. But like, how many goals are scored like that? How many goals come from build-up play and then a beautiful little intrinsic pass through the defence? Most goals in the Premier League are coming from intrinsic. I'm talking, shut up. what percentage of goals are coming from things like that?
Mm.
Most goals are coming from mistakes, counter-attacks, and set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And he's perfect for set pieces. A counter-attack, if you're talking about 3-on-3 up top, you can't tell me that Benteke won't fucking score. You know, it's 1-on-1 with a defender.
The problem for me is...
He gets a shot away early, you know... But it's a fucking about time we had someone again. Like, all the season before last season, we were brilliant from set pieces. Scored so many goals from set pieces.
Mm.
Last season, we must have been one of the teams that scored the fewest.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't fucking...
But the season before was a freak, because we spent our lives complaining about how shit we are at the scoring of set pieces if it wasn't a direct free kick. Like, our corners are a fucking laughing stock. Like,
they
every
have
time,
been for years.
They have, but this is my point, yeah. Right? So the
and it's not just Stevie. Anyone who goes in the shit.
Season before last was a freak when it came to scoring goals off set pieces. When I look at Benteke, I think to myself, to put him into the team, you have to have a completely different style of play to when you put Sturridge into the team, right?
Yeah.
So either you plan to play the two of them together in a very Kenny big man sort of, not so as big man to him.
Kenny
so,
Big Man, he's some sort of red Indian.
Like Chris Sutton and Alan Shearer.
Kenny Big Man.
playing the Chris Suttons and the Alan Shearers.
Yeah.
You know, where they were sort of both big, but one was slightly bigger than the other. So right. Then I'm looking at Benteke.
It's a brilliant theory so far.
Yeah. And Sturridge in a similar system.
Yeah.
But is that likely to happen? I don't know. I just think it's fundamentally such a different system to play Benteke as a lone striker as it is to play Sturridge as a lone striker.
But this mobility thing's a bit of a red herring, isn't it? Because he is more mobile immediately than the lads we had there last year.
But being more mobile than a statue is not being mobile.
And as well, like when you're talking about Benteke, like, right, teams like they try and leather Aston Villa over, they push their back four up and all. And Ben, I nearly called him Ben Heskey.
That's guaranteed to fucking stay. All you're going to see is Ben Heskey for the rest of the season.
So Benteke's starting position was, you know, near the halfway line with a centre back.
Mm-hmm.
Who, like, and the centre, like, anybody in that position is going to shit themselves against Benteke. But like, teams don't defend like that against us. Like, it's always the tight back four that the forwards have to try and find a way through. Like, you can't do that with physicality, really. And a lot of his game is, you know, having the ball hoist straight at him by Villa. Like, that's what, like, a lot of people say. He scores a lot of goals for Villa, but he doesn't get much service. But that's what suits him, like, having the ball fucking just hit at him as early as possible. And, like, we're not going to do, like, we shouldn't do that, and defences wouldn't allow us to do that anyway.
I remember saying the exact same things when we signed Andy Carroll. He's not, you know, he's more mobile than you think. You know, it's not just about headers that he scores. He scores rockets off his feet as well. He takes shots early, right?
Mm.
That worked out well.
Were you hopeful with Carroll?
Well,
in a way that you're not now.
I think because we've had Carroll,
right?
I have absolutely no hope, right? the other thing that I'm not sure about Benteke, because all the games I've seen him play in the whole lot, he doesn't attack the front post.
Mm.
And that was my biggest bugbear with Andy Carroll.
If Carroll wasn't a pisshead, right, and he wasn't so fucking injury prone, he'd be a fucking fine player.
Every time
Carroll gets a run in his team, the season he was with Newcastle, when he played pretty much every game, he was scoring for fun. When he got back into the West Ham team before he got injured again, he was scoring.
Well,
he scored for us when he was fit. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking the fella.
Well,
Carroll's problem isn't the fact that he's a shit player. Carroll's problem is the fact that he has a fucking mad social life and the fact that he's so injured.
But
that's destroying.
It's not. It's also a fundamental lack of where he should be in the box when the ball's coming in. If you go back to Carroll and park the injuries for a second, the amount of times he missed out on chances when he should have been in the box, and he'd never break into the box at speed. He never attacked the front post. He always dropped back out to the edge of the box, and that ball was always played in, and there was nobody there. And the big difference when we signed Sturridge was we finally had a striker who attacked the near post.
Mm.
Now, this is my problem with Benteke. Say Sturridge doesn't overcome these continual injuries that's played his whole career. Say we don't have miracle medicine man to fix him up, right? And you're relying on Benteke. I just don't see where he suddenly starts attacking the front post. I just don't see it.
But like, I think,
and this mission, the goals that he scores for Villa, so as Paul said, they put the ball in early, an awful lot of it goes to the back post, and he scores an awful lot of headers. I think he scored something like 50% of his goals have come from headers last
50%
season.
Of his goals came from a header or a penalty. That's what it was.
Well, either way, he's not going to be taking penalties.
Yeah, well, look, Villa had a pretty poor league campaign, you know, to be fair, and for a fella to come back pretty much after Christmas and score a lot of goals.
He wasn't injured before Christmas, he was dropped.
Fair enough.
Nice haircut, Phil. I wish I could have a haircut, it says here.
Are you tweeting in yourself?
I'm tweeting yourself.
Paul, Balotelli, nobody's talking about Balotelli because it's dead in the water, is it? Or is there any hope that he could still rescue something?
We signed him last year.
Yeah. What do you think? Is it just done?
I think so. Look, yeah. I've seen barely anything from him that suggests that he's going to be, like, you know, a good player for us. And then, you know, all the kind of clued in journals are saying that Brendan basically fucking hates his guts or whatever and that, like, can't get him to train properly or whatever. So, yeah, like, I think, yeah, it was a gamble, and it looks to me like it's failed. I'd be very surprised if he was here. But I think we'll struggle to sell him. I can see, you know, with the last minute loan on fucking deadline day.
That's going
to
be the problem.
And he'll get loaned out for two seasons in a row and we lose him on a free or something like
so.
That.
There's always, like, it is hard to get a striker who scores goals. Now, Balotelli has records of scoring goals elsewhere. So somebody be stupid enough to do with us. It'll be coming down to transfer deadline day and someone will go, Balotelli's available.
We'll get the best of it.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Let's have a go. And there, Wankers podcast goes. We'll be sitting in a bunker in Israel or somewhere. Just Balotelli, woo! This is good gamble, yes.
Yeah, I think we'll leave it at that. I think we'll leave it at that.
So, what's our feelings on the appointment of Sean Driscoll as assistant manager to Brendan Rodgers? On the back of the appointment of Pep Linders as the first team coach, how are we feeling about that?
Right, my theory is simple on this, and it stands to reason why they've done it.
Go on.
There's a myth that FSG are all about moneyball and signing players low and selling them high, when they've never actually put that out as that being that their philosophy for Liverpool. They have put out that their philosophy is to win and achieve things with a core pool of British or British nurture talent in a team. So if you look at the appointments that they just made, Linders being a fella who's renowned for developing young players and bringing them through, even through U teams and the whole lot, and they're saying his strengths last year was in one-to-one coaching with the senior players when they looked to go to a back three. And then you look at Sean O'Driscoll, and his whole background has been about developing more or less British-based players or British nurtured players that were there from lower leagues or whatever, and bringing them through. And you'll hear them say, yeah, look, that's what he's doing. And where is he at the moment? He's England under-19s. So he knows the young English players coming through, the British players that are coming through. When he was working in the lower leagues, he would have worked with players that have been on loan from bigger clubs, etc., around it, knows what's coming in. Then you've got Rodgers, who clearly believes in this idea of bringing in local players as opposed to just bringing in European players. So even if it means paying more for a player from England than it will from a player from abroad, that they're prepared to pay them more because they're fundamentally their ethos is to achieve with this idea of a core of a British team. So when you're saying, would there be any point in signing a Muhlenstein, signing somebody like that who's, you know, who would have been more attuned potentially to the European markets, the Dutch markets, all that, the Spanish markets, whatever, right? Or look to bring in the best foreign talent in the way that Rafa would have done when he was there, right? I think the two appointments fit more with that philosophy of a core British-based football team.
Okay, so you take that as a potential theory and, you know, you'll be the first to accept that it is only that.
Yeah.
What about the concept of it being, considering what people were saying about Rodgers, considering the fact that it's taken so long, talk to me about the idea of it being massively underwhelming for people because they feel like something was needed and they've invested a lot of thought into this. Something is needed.
How about this? Fuck off. Because
is that me or them?
No, I'm just talking in general, right? Listen, everyone from the end of this season, it's been Rodgers is getting sacked, right? So Rodgers didn't get sacked, but everyone is getting sacked around him. So that means that Rodgers is not in control anymore. When clearly he is. And he's been in control since whatever review that went on has happened, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at the links to your man O'Driscoll beforehand, he's been at Melwood over the course of the season, working with Rodgers in terms of his own, O'Driscoll's own coaching development as such, right? He seems to be a close friend of Rodgers through the coaching connections in England and the whole lot. So this isn't a fucking surprise. This is clearly someone that Rodgers wants to bring in.
I think people wanted a surprise, though.
Yeah, I
they did. That's wanted, the point.
People wanted
they got
it, though.
They got a surprise, yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought when Pascoe went, like, we're going to bring in this really fucking, you know, European coach, you know.
Yeah, high profile.
Oh, holy shit. Look at this guy coming in. This guy looks like he knows his shit. People are going to be on Rodgers' back straight away, and they're going to blame the bollocks out of him.
Especially because, the association that Phil's talking about.
Yeah. People say it's his mate and he's brought in his mate, just like Pascoe was his mate. And they'll say the same mistakes and all that. But look, I can only go on what other people have been writing and what Phil has just said there. Like, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And sure, why not? Like, if the fella, there's people saying, have a look at the way the England under 19s are playing. They're playing this very attractive passing football and all that. And it's what we hope we see from Liverpool. So fuck it, like, let's see.
But he's played 7 games with them, 1-6 and lost 1. That's not much of a sample. Well, you know, when you compare it to what he's 57 odd, you know.
Can you park this idea of him as a manager? He's not come in as the manager. He's coming in as the assistant manager. Well, I think
every assistant manager,
you had him down as the scout a minute ago.
every assistant manager, every assistant manager, you know, assistant manager needs to be a good manager, though.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point.
You could arguably that's not true.
Hang on there, like,
but he has to recognise
Ferguson, Carlos Queiroz, shit manager. Mullenstein, shit manager.
Mike Phelan, divorced taxi driver.
What the fuck
is he doing, like, at a club like United, you think? Like.
No, but what I'm saying to you is, you don't have to be a great manager to be a great assistant manager. No,
nobody's arguing that, but all we can go by is his record as a manager.
I think one of the things
that's all we've got.
I think Owen Loco said it on Twitter as well. He says that everyone wanted more or less a fella to be put in there, so when Rodgers gets sacked, you've still got confidence that the team will be run well.
Yeah.
So this is the thing.
Yeah.
We didn't want an assistant manager. We basically wanted a shadow manager.
Yeah. Right? Someone to sit there on Brendan's shoulder and go on, keep fucking up.
And you think that's
I'm ready.
Like, genuinely, do people really think that the fella that's sitting beside Rodgers saying, here, do this. No, I don't want to do this. Here, do this. No, I don't want to do this. Here, do this. Oh, yeah, that's a Jedi mind trick. I'll do that then. Okay, yeah, Grant, whatever you're saying, Grant.
But what about the thing I said to you was yesterday when we were chatting about this? That, okay, so we get rid of Collie, Brendan's big mate, and we bus in Sean, who's apparently big mates with Brendan. Where the fuck's the logic there?
Who gives a fuck?
Well, everybody gives a fuck. That's why we're here in a fucking shit hot bunker.
Mm-hmm. But no, fuck.
What I'm saying is, that's the logic.
But it's not bananas. You know,
I thought to bring in someone that he didn't really know from the continent. Well, he was going to bring fresh ideas.
That's the thing. It looked like he was getting his wings clipped, right? And so, okay, fair enough. But then they go and bring a guy he's very comfortable with.
Comfortable with that. Like, I didn't like when it did look like it was kind of FSG said, right, we're getting rid of Marsh and Pascoe, and we're going to get someone like kind of independent of you. We're gonna find someone like high profile.
Yeah.
And experience. Like, I didn't like the idea of, like, you're either backing Rodgers or you're not.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't just force everything on them. Like, so I'm a bit more comfortable, actually, that now that I know that it was basically Rodgers who got rid of the Pascoe and Marsh and brought this fella in. And like, I find it difficult to get too worked up about an assistant manager.
But
like,
appointment.
Like, I think we're probably the first fan base in history that's ever been up in arms over something. Yeah. To be honest,
but it's
like,
back to what Phil was saying, that people have love invested into this that you don't normally have invested into.
Like Liverpool fans, everything you see Liverpool fans now, it's all been layered through about 5 different agendas that they have.
It
comes out smelling as shit. That's why I've never seen this before, an assistant manager appointment being used to absolutely destroy the manager. It's something only Liverpool fans
it's the hyper analysis that I think just Twitter in general has brought along.
And cunts like us sitting in a fucking bunker talking
fans have tried their hand on picking players and saying this player will work out and trying to talk up a player or talk down a player, and they're proven so wrong. And all of a sudden, they're experts and assistant managers. So
nobody knows how good this fella is going to be as an assistant manager, because fundamentally, he hasn't been an assistant manager. right?
Except for one spell, yeah.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying, right? So he hasn't been an assistant manager at a top club. So if you look at Steve McLaren was a great assistant manager to Ferguson.
Mm.
He's been an up-and-downy manager, right?
An up-and-downy manager?
Yeah, look at Trevor.
For fuck's sake. Fucking hell.
But you know what I mean? We don't know. This fellow, you know, we could be saying to him, he's the best assistant manager in the world. Yeah. Probably won't. But at the same time, you know, if Rodgers gets sacked, he's not going to be hanging around either.
It's some kick in the stones for Colly Pascoe, isn't it?
No, it's
it
not.
It really is.
Listen,
poor Colly.
Listen.
That's all I can think of right now.
How could they do this?
How could they do that to Colly?
We win the league this season. It means nothing without Colly. And his nappies.
I think there's O'Driscoll wear tracksuit bottoms on the sideline.
I don't know. That'll be interesting.
He's going to have to come up with something.
He's going to have a hook.
Mankini or something.
He's going to have a hook.
Did you see the interview? Did you see the interview though when he was Doncaster manager? Was it Doncaster manager and he was losing the plot at the questions being asked?
Yeah, it didn't go so well for him at Doncaster.
Was he? Losing the plot.
No, it wasn't quite Nigel fucking, what's his
Pearson.
Name? Pearson levels. He's gone, by the way, today we thought as well.
Where's Sean O'Driscoll from? Fucking Blanchardstown or something, is it?
Well, he played for Ireland. He's got an Ireland cap, but I don't think he's first generation or whatever.
Was he Sligo Rovers manager on stage?
I don't have that on my Wikipedia search, Phil.
Let's say he is. He was very good at Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, let's just make that shit up.
He played a great 4-3-3. And he used the diamonds.
Yeah,
as well.
Sam Allardyce is assistant manager at fucking Drogheda.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Oh, you mean Limerick, don't you?
Yeah, Limerick, yeah.
That was when he was wearing the hat and all that. Yeah, was class.
Yeah. He had a wig and nobody recognised
him. There's a great picture of Dylan Reynolds holding him in the bathroom.
you only get this kind of inside information here in this podcast. What
Big Sam was asking, would you rather lick me crack or suck on Roy Hodgson's crow?
Do you know Roy Hodgson?
Do we see any like what you said, we won't know until this season whether he's a good assistant manager or not. That's fair enough.
You won't know if he's a good assistant manager.
Yeah, you won't know at all. Like, nobody knows.
You'll never know.
Nobody knows.
Do you know when he'll be a good assistant manager? If we're winning, he'll be a brilliant assistant manager. That's how things go, isn't it? Whether he is or not.
They'll just
whether
wait until we're losing games. Then it'll be
then he'll be shit.
Like, him and Rogers.
The Andy Rogers brigade that'll say that fucking Sean
has been
fucking
crew.
He's the one that has him fucking but doing great.
It's like the Paco Estron thing,
yeah,
right, like best assistant manager ever.
Yeah,
he wasn't there when Rafa had his best season ever at Liverpool.
It's
gas. People just didn't want to like Rafa, and it was because of Paco.
Paco left, everything went down to shit. Though we did finish second and nearly win the league.
What are we going to call Sean? We going to call him Brian? What are we going to call him?
No, well, they're calling him Soddy.
That doesn't work, does it? Soddy.
It is a very Irish one. If he was playing ball now, he'd definitely be on a sod.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, yeah.
Sod, yeah.
Sod, yeah. I'm not really.
Because then it leads into loads of puns. Sod's law. But like, when are you going to be talking to him?
One pun then.
One pun.
You can rework it seven ways.
Leads into loads of puns. Sod's law. And
moving swiftly now.
Yes.
Carrying a sod. Liverpool are carrying a sod.
Yeah. I think we should stick with Brian. It's about far better.
He was sod in half.
Oh God, stop it.
See, look, there's loads.
Oh, Trev, do your job and move us along. For fuck's sake.
Someone come up with a segue here.
To be fair, part of my job is letting him bury himself, which is good. Okay, let's have a look at a different
Sodomy.
Topic altogether.
Winter's in for Lucas.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy. Good reading. We'll come back to that with a look at a few other transfer pieces that we didn't talk about in the Periscope. But I wanted to talk just briefly about this idea about Firmino, who's our new boy, and we didn't really talk about him on the main pod last week. We talked about him in the Periscope thing. Just to have a little bit of review with the couple of games that people have seen lately, because all of a sudden we were all watching the Copa.
Up until we signed him,
he was fucking great.
It was great. His performance in the last game was a bit shit.
Pretty waggle, yeah.
But he was probably played as a false nine, and everyone's like, this is where he's going to be playing now, blah, blah, blah. Let's hope he's not playing there. Because he was just completely neutered in terms of what he did. Coutinho looked the best Brazilian player in the park.
By a mile. Yeah. Are we talking to ourselves, as are the other two?
I don't watch international football. It's shy.
Even like music,
I'm excited about Firmino, but like there's no way I'm saying the Copa America's on a 1 or 2 in the morning.
It's on again at 4 and 5 in the evening. You know when you're just sitting and work doing nothing.
Yeah.
You could just stick on Satan today on the computer.
Is it? Yeah. I thought it was on in the middle of the night.
It's over now. Anyway.
Okay.
The boys are going home. Do you see him, Andy?
No.
Yeah, all right.
No, I'm good. Like, I mean, geez, what has me most excited is how excited everyone else is. I'm being upfront and honest here. Like, I can't say I've watched, like, I like to see a player maybe 10 or 12 times for 90 minutes before I actually say this. Yeah. But there's no way, and I mean, most of people saying that they've seen him and they think he's great are kidding themselves.
The first time I saw him was playing for Brazil the other night. I've never seen him play for Hoffenheim.
Because we don't know.
He
could come into the league and just be a fucking flop. Like, you know, we'd people talking about Markovic. This isn't a dig at Markovic, because you know he was that one person. Come on and bumped up, but you know you like, it's huge expectations now. This is the signing that everybody is so excited about, and it's only going to take about 3 games for people to get on his back if he doesn't score, he doesn't do something magic.
Well, look, even what happened with Di Maria at United. That was a massive transfer, and he didn't play. He wasn't at the level that he played when he was for Real Madrid. And at the end of the season, people were saying, you know, he's a bit of a flop.
And he's ironically doing well in the Copa, so that just shows you what.
But straight up, Trevor, like, I know we talked about Firmino last week, but like, again, you can't judge players. I'm always loath to judge a player at an international tournament because it's only 7 or 8 games, and players have loads of hot spells in those, in tournaments, and then when you see them again, they're garbage. I've watched the fella and I think he's got potential to be really a really top level footballer for us in terms of what he brings, and we'll get to see. It'll be depend on how we use them. Do we trust Rodgers to use them? To be honest, I'm just parking everything with Rodgers at the moment, because you know it has to be a clean slate. It has to be. They seem to be buying players for a formation. They seem to have a definite, clear idea of what he wants his team to play this season and the way that he wants his team to play this season in the signings that we're making. So
I think the signings have just been very obvious, like, in terms of what they've brought in. Everything has been like for like, you know what I mean? Johnson's gone, so we've brought in Klein. Milner's gone, or Jared's gone, so he's brought in Milner. Now, I know they're not similar, huge, but he's just brought in, you know, another English centre midfielder who's going to add that kind of.
But you can see, Andy, what I'm saying is that you can see where Milner fits into the midfield. We've been trying to fit Gerrard into Rodgers midfield for the last 3 years, right? Whereas if you look at our midfielders now, you can pick a starting midfield where you couldn't pick. They were trying to shoehorn Gerrard into that all the time, right? Whereas we went out and signed a player who, arguably, if you were playing a diamond, let's say, right, you'd have Milner and Henderson one side, and you have Chan at the base of it, and then they can move around, and then at the top of it you can have Coutinho and Firmino, or you can play three, you can have the two of them and a fella up top, or you can play one and with two up top. Like, you can see.
So you're both saying the same thing. To echo what Andy's saying, then Ings comes in, at least one of our strikers is going
to
go.
Yeah, that sounds to me like Lambert's gone. You know, you've got Benteke coming in, Balotelli's gone, you've Firmino coming in, Sterling's gone. It's all just like replacements. Like, you know, I don't think there's an obvious new strategy going on where they're rebuilding an 11 here. I think it's just there's players going and there's players coming in.
Well, that's where we differ, because when I look and say Sterling's going, Firmino's coming in, it's not like it is a replacement, but it's not a like-for-like replacement.
Just like Miller and Gerrard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's replacing the player in the squad, but it's replacing the player in the squad in the position that you want to replace him in a system.
So what about like Firmino? What's different about where he's going to play for us than Sterling was? Like, Sterling played in the 10, Sterling played wide,
but
Sterling played up front.
I see Firmino playing as an attacking midfielder. I don't see he's not going to be a wide man for us, right? He's going to be in the number 10 role, or he's going to be two number 10s, for want of a better word, alongside Coutinho and Firmino. I can see the logic in what they're trying to do. And if you want to play wingers, you've got Markovic now, and you've got Ibe, who's going to give you that pace down the flanks. Yeah. You've got up front, we're talking about Ings isn't a replica of Lambert, if you know what I mean. Ings is more of a workman, get around the pitch, busy in terms of what he's going to do up top and close players down.
Yeah.
Similarly, you're talking about Benteke. The one thing Benteke does do is work his hole off when he's in front.
Look, at Benteke and Ings, they're fucking so Premier League. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, you know what I mean? They suit the league so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that makes a lot of sense. But is Firmino for you going to suit the league?
Is he?
Yeah.
He should. Nobody can say 100% for certain that he's going to, right? But if you look at the players who have thrived and done really well when they come over, say the likes of Silva, the likes of Cazorla, the likes of even Suarez when he comes in, he's that style of player. Do you know what I mean? He's not a fella who's going to rely on pace. He's got real fucking vision about him. He's able to play a pass. He's able to see what goes on, and he's able to finish as well.
Mm.
If we can get him, if he's in the right areas of the pitch, he's going to cause damage to teams. So you know what I mean? It's hard to understand. He's also got a great work rate when he's playing on the pitch, so it's hard to understand how he will fail. But there's no guarantees that he won't fail.
Yeah, Paul, I'm currently unemployed as a writer. Intentionally, I've taken a while off, and I don't know what the fuck I would do if I wasn't, because Brendan's not saying anything. That's basically what I made up all my articles about, whether it was taking the piss or quoting them or referring to it. This is, I think, the fourth podcast in a row where we've come in and we've had nothing to say about what he's been saying, which is fucking weird for us. Now, an awful lot of people try and read stuff into that. Would you think it's harmless enough? It's just a man's on a break and he's probably told to take a back seat till everything was done. Or which, when you have signings rolling in, like we have another new one there today, you have Joey Gomez, who's apparently real. He's citing Brendan as the main reason he signed. He snubbed Dortmund, he snubbed Arsenal, he could have gone to Ireland, but he wanted to go because Brendan Rodgers was a kind of coach that he thought could bring the most out of him. Why aren't we hearing on from Brendan Rodgers?
I think he probably has been kind of told, like, keep it short a little bit more. Because towards the end of the season, like, he was going in and he was trying to kind of talk his way out of absolutely everything and all. And it was just pissing everybody off. Like, everybody, even people, I've always liked Rodgers. And even I was just kind of like, just stop.
Just leave it,
You're just making it worse. Like, you're just giving everybody sound bites to beat you with. So I think there probably has been a bit of a talk. Like, and he's kind of, I think, even if you remember his first season where he was proper, like, kind of render quote, he was, you know, really probably going for the philosophy quotes.
He was.
So, he toned it down himself, I think, after that. But, yeah, I definitely think, there's never been a summer before where he's been really quiet and hasn't said it. And so I think that something has been said to him. But, it is nice if Gomez has said that, I came here for Rodgers, because, He is someone who'll give you the chance, and that's why I'm kind of pissed off at Sterling. Obviously, Sterling can go to a bigger club, they'll have him, but he's not going to play every week because not every manager is like Rodgers, who will kind of stick with him and give him that chance. Like, he's not going to bin him as soon as he has a poor game. So I can see that kind of attraction there for Gomez.
Although, ironically, Gomez, the only one who's mentioned Brendan, is probably likely to be farmed out on loan anyway, isn't he? For all his chat.
Yeah, you know, maybe.
That's very, very possible.
I've seen, I don't know what anything about Gomez. I've seen about 7 seconds of footage of him.
I just mean...
Four seconds of that was him taking a fucking throw-in. It was all on Sky Sports.
I just mean, given his age and given the fact that we have a lot of cover in that area, there's every chance.
Right back.
Yeah, he probably will.
Yeah,
right. I think there was talk, as soon as he was coming out, I think there was talk that he could be, put straight back out even into a championship team.
Yeah.
But you can't argue that. Give him some experience. It did Ibe the world of good, so.
Yeah, fair enough. Andy, you're not very upset about not hearing much from Brendan, are you?
No, it's great. People were drawn to certain conclusions that he was so quiet because they might have been considering different options. Were they still talking to Klopp or whatever?
Hmm.
Brendan must be feeling an awful lot of pressure after last season.
Mm.
He's had his little review or whatever. We thought he might get sacked there. He might get a bollocking. He's probably needed the little bit of time away. So fuck yourself off to a beach there somewhere and just, keep your mouth shut. Get your mind off the football. We'll ring you if we're signing or, the list of players. I'm sure he's been on the phone and all that. So, it doesn't make... it's not that it makes no sense that he hasn't spoken. Mm. Like, look, he's going to be back with a bang now next week.
Yeah, we'll be wishing
he'd
show
be all thinking,
yeah.
Maybe all thinking, oh,
could be a 4-hour press
like,
conference.
It's like he's never gone away. Like, yeah. I mean, he must have been some amount of stuff built up now. Say. I'd say that fucking little blondie has a lot of our ears burnt off. But,
if you're on the plane home and the laptop Skyping interviews into the journal, the holiday's officially over. I can talk.
But you know, but that's what, going back to my bit around, you know, we're getting an assistant manager in who's going to be basically, we're getting Jurgen Klopp in as assistant manager, and we're bringing in fucking whoever it was as coach, or we're bringing in Jupp Heynckes as his coach. As Andy said, maybe the thing that came out of the review was, listen, Brendan, shut the fuck up for 4 weeks. Right, or maybe he's thought to himself, Jesus, I've made a complete clown out of myself over the course of the year.
Best thing I can do is...
Because he is very media aware.
Yeah.
Now, we know he's very media aware. I'd say maybe somebody sent him on a YouTube of all his interviews and said, are you turning into Roy Hodgson? And he went, bollocks to that, am I for saying anything for a month, and just fucked off.
Because I watched something like, you know, some sort of review of, you know, his first season.
Yeah.
And you know when he first came in, like, he was trying to kill it in the press every time.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
every time
he
opened
shanky
his mouth,
light, yeah.
There was quotes and all that. And like, yeah. he's reined that sort of stuff in.
Yeah.
It's like last season it was more to do with, like, he was contradicting himself all the time. Because he never kind of straight bats a question away. He'll try and give the journalist a big like spiel or whatever,
yeah.
And it'll completely contradict something he said 3 weeks ago. And that was the beginning. Like, I didn't give a shite even when he was kind of going out, you know, trying to be Shankly and all with the quotes. That didn't really bother me. But by the end of last year, I was getting really just tired of, like, you know, he'd say something and you were like, that's not what you were saying 5 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
I think his head was gone at that stage. As Andy said, he probably really badly needed a break, to be fair.
So,
you know?
Like, I'd say he has been told to shut up, and it's probably for the best. Really.
The thing about it is, Paul, at least he's not Nigel fucking Pearson, because that guy who's lost his job today, and apparently specifically for that press conference with the ostrich. You know,
lucky you had nothing to do with anything else that we're not going to talk about on the podcast.
Absolutely not.
Nothing.
We wouldn't talk about
nothing.
That thing that you're talking about. But, you know, like, it could be worse.
Just, you can fill me in later. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, right.
But again, it's the sinister overtone. Oh, like, wasn't Klopp and weren't DIC and Klopp taking us over today?
It's the 1st of Is July, that, Phil.
Hang on a second. What? No, sorry. We're now 10 past
we
9.
We still have some time.
So it could be 10:30, the announcement.
It was official. We were going to get some Arab influx of cash, and Klopp was just waiting in the wings.
Waiting in the wings. We didn't use that one earlier on. Prepared a bit. Waiting in the wings. Closer.
Hiding in the long grass. But, like, I mean, we've got
some. So that's Klopp that brought O'Driscoll in then, is it really?
Yeah, of course it is.
In the grand scheme of things.
Of course it is. Everybody knows
who
that.
Who was making this shit up?
There was some.
And the Countdown Conundrum champion is the coach.
Callum Ray. It's Callum fucking Wright saying it all.
But genuinely, like, it's not sinister. It's just pre-season.
What's not sinister?
It's not his absence. There's no tournament going on.
Oh,
right, Copa
okay,
America.
Yeah.
Ian Eyre went out to that for us.
He did.
Went out to sort out the back of Rondon and Firmino Fields.
He brought someone with him for
got
once,
one done.
And we got a deal done.
Got one
interesting
done.
That
got one done. That's the fucking good
go,
start.
Mike Gordon. Or
Gordon
something.
Went with him. Yeah. So that is interesting.
They flew back on the dragon from the Neverending Story.
Of course they did. Yeah. right, a couple of other things I just want to tie up. Very, 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 very.
I hope it's not one of us.
No, it's not. Repeated stories about Lucas away, Inter Milan back in. How would we feel about that as a potential?
Yeah. I heard it's a done deal. I heard it's on the personal terms being agreed.
It's close.
Yeah, he's waiting in the wings now to see if
they're thrashing out a deal.
They're thrashing out a deal, and they're waiting in the wings to see if Kovacic exists, because if he does, then we might sign him as part of the deal.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Right. So,
well,
any more sense?
In fairness, with the Lucas show, that Inter Milan link has been knocking around now. Since,
that's what I'm saying. It won't go away.
What, the January transfer window, and there seemed to be a bid put in then, and he wasn't able to go. So it wouldn't surprise me if he goes. One of Alan or Lucas is definitely going this summer.
Yeah. I fucking kind of wish it was Alan though.
I think we get more money for Alan.
I think there's a few years left in Lucas playing, you know, just to fucking throw him in there to chart things
well,
up.
Yeah.
I just think he can do more as a defensive midfielder than
Alan can.
Alan can't do what, say, Henderson, Chan and Milner will do around the rest of the pitch, and he certainly can't do what Lucas and Chan will be able to do as a defensive midfielder. So I just don't see when he's good, he's very good. But the problem is he's too injury prone and he's not good all the time.
No. I've been always a fan of Lucas, and only lately this. Have you seen the unlucky videos?
Oh yeah, I saw one where Henderson's trying to flog his shirt to a fan or something.
How can you not love that fella?
That was like, of all the you know, the cringy stuff that LFC TV put up, or that the website put up. That was brilliant. Now
that was
funny.
I mean, I thought it was class. The Henderson went out to the Everton fan. He got proper tick with him.
Yeah.
Tony couldn't. I was a. Lucas went down to
the Everton fan. Yeah.
Tony couldn't shop in here.
Yeah.
Man was fucking. <the Everton. laughs> And even when he said he's only messing with him, Lucas, like, he was still fucking snapping. Like,
he didn't know it was him.
Yeah. When they were signing, do you want me to get him to sign that for you? And then you was like, yeah, all right, I'll take it. And then he just whips off and just starts signing. And your one like still going, what the fuck? Like,
what was an Everton fan doing walking around the shop?
He said it was they were buying for their nephew or something.
No,
I don't know. God bless him.
Cline saying the right things anyway.
What did he say?
What's Cline
when saying? The Anfield crowd is roaring, it makes me go a little bit more. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes. What the fuck is that vine you're watching?
I don't know. That is disturbing.
I am Lou Suarez. You are listening to Trippers Chat.
With Trev.
I do, but I tell Carl I don't, just to wind him up. Of
course it did.
Huh?
Of course it did.
My brother's convinced it didn't. He's got a whole fucking raft of very, very good conspiracy theory
out. I know, but like every conspiracy theory out there, like, just gets shot down by somebody else. Like, yeah. You know.
It'd be very hard to disprove that we landed on the moon when the shit's still up there.
You don't know it's up there. You were told it was up there.
Did you go on to Google Moon?
Google Moon.
Like, what's the... Okay, the difference between the two achievements, right? You put human beings, one goes into a spaceship, right? And goes up and steps out onto the moon.
Yeah.
The other person goes up in a balloon and jumps out. Okay, so, like, pretty much anyone could do either, if given the right training.
No. But you're missing the point. We've managed to get a spaceship.
No, that's what I'm saying to you. I'm ruling out the human element.
All right, yeah.
Right, so anyone can step out of a vehicle on the moon,
anywhere,
and walk around and stick a flag in or whatever, and just say a few words.
Yeah.
And then anyone can, we're given the right training, go up in a balloon and jump out in a spacesuit.
Yeah.
With a fucking parachute, right?
Yeah.
Grant. So that removes that part. So the only thing left to debate is the achievement of getting that particular vehicle
up there.
Yeah. Now, for fuck's sake, it's not even in the same like calendar year. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
And not to even mention the fact that when we put somebody on the moon, we were using less technology than we have on our smartphones these days.
That's impressive.
It is fucking impressive.
Yeah.
We basically strapped a tinfoil thing.
But it didn't happen.
What?
It didn't happen.
There's pictures on Google Moon.
Neither did the balloon jump, though.
No, neither did the
balloon. That didn't happen. Remember in Rogers' first season, Rogers even said that rain had to lose half a stone or something. They had to put him in a fucking special. Like, midway through the season, they put him in a fucking special train.
What does he up that, homie? He's just fucking milling cakes out. Like, I mean, they train like a cunt. Or like, a, you know, they train like mad when they're in every day.
Do you remember the pictures of him?
And then they're eating well.
Bayern.
Yeah.
Do you remember the picture when he came back from injury at Bayern?
That was brilliant.
From the back injury. He obviously hadn't been able to train for about
the sweatshirt and the tracksuit pants on.
And he had the biggest fucking Ned Kelly of it. Now, in fairness, he got rid of it fairly quickly, but you could see he looked like a Sunday league footballer.
Some barrel of a lad. Some barrel of a lad, fair fucks though.
Yeah. He's not going to be a skinny fellow when he finishes playing ball, put it that way. There's only 10 Pepe Reinas.
But it's gas, like, there's something there, like, Rogers was getting the dogs over, like, you know, why don't we play? Why is Reina being let go there? Why is he being treated like this? Why is he treated... Like, Rogers goes in and sort of, he's speaking to the fitness coaches, he's speaking to people, and they're going, look, this fella just won't lose weight. We're talking to him every week.
Yeah.
We're paying $200,000 a week, and he just won't, like, he just seems to be going home and eating fucking jack.
And he stopped saving shots.
What's the story? So,
can't do it anymore.
He is, though. In a fucking shape of that. That's brilliant.
It's, like, it's fucking bad.
That's brilliant.
Boring one, is it? Yeah.
That's brilliant.
That's outrageous.
You know, he's real popular among the players and all. The same here, a session over my way off, lads. Get Chinese. Lads.
Yeah.
No, just me. All right. I'll get the two beef curries.
Got enough food in for everyone. Yeah. We didn't want any Pepe. I sure won't go to waste.
Yeah. I'll throw it out to the dogs later. Yeah.
The dogs. 2 o'clock in the morning. He's down 2 o'clock in the morning, shame eating. I don't want to do that.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. I'm eating in the dark again.
Pizza for breakfast and all.
Yeah.
It's a long time since I had pizza for breakfast. That is a fucking wonderful thing to do.
Which?
Do you heat it up or straight out of the fridge?
Straight out of the fridge. Straight out of the box on the table. Room temperature. Possibly off the floor. Possibly out of your friend's paw.
That's shamey. Yeah,
yeah. Like Gollum crawling across my Try not to wake him up.
Drag him out.
Yeah, just leave the crust. He wakes up like it's a shape of crust around his knuckle.
Your fucking doughy knuckle duster or something.
Remembering that. Jesus.
Oh, man. That's great crack when we stop recording, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, now we're
on it. Still recording, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's shit again.
Germany's going to be the crack.
I fucking hope so.
He was trying to shame you. Are you asleep yet?
What is the worst activity you have done or have been expected to do and can't avoid? Your job doesn't count. He says he's just done some painting and he fucking hates painting.
Oh, fucking so, hell,
what's the worst thing that you activity that you kind of have to do that you can't avoid? So he's gone for a domestic duty. Any other suggestions?
Painting is shit.
That's awful.
Yeah,
do a big part first at a company in first.
I always do the big part first.
Oh,
Stick the tape up and get most of it done and then just do the cutting in.
No, do the edges first. Do the edges first. Then you can go and slap on.
I do the middle because it feels like you're almost done when you're finished. Like.
Yeah.
But then you've got twice as long to go and do the edges. That takes far more time, no?
No, but you wouldn't know because you don't do it that way.
That's very true. I just do it the opposite way. Okay, fair enough.
Do you know what activity I hate?
Go on.
You know, like organised parties. Like, oh, come to me 21st or me 30th or we're having a wedding. Fuck off. Like, that is all shite. I can't stand.
You're not fond of people, Paul.
No, but people are all right. Like, you know, that sort of fucking structured fun. Like, me 30th is in 5 months. Mark it down. Fuck off. It's like a black cloud hanging over you. Like, let's go to this cunt's 30th now and listen to fucking. Whatever, Creedence Clearwater song, that rolling on a river, he'd probably have shite band and then there'd be a shite DJ. All of that just fucking wrecks my head. Weddings as well, like you have to go to a wedding if you're
invited. That's a brilliant show.
Absolute bollocks. Nobody likes Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to the wedding, gonna get pissed. Nobody enjoys it. Everybody coming up the 2 weeks before, it's like, I have to go to a fucking wedding. Gonna miss the Liverpool match. I could be doing that. We could sit at home and have a fucking pedal, but instead I have to fucking get in a suit and go to this wedding. Absolutely. Any organised party like that should be cancelled.
Cutting the grass.
I don't like cutting the grass.
I fucking hate it.
Stick on all the podcasts, no?
I can't even listen to podcasts at the moment.
Can you not, no? That's brilliant.
I just don't care about football.
That's brilliant. Brilliant promotion there for.
Don't listen,
AI friends. Well done. Hope they're not fucking listening.
Get out and listen to some music. It's summertime. When the sun is out, all I want to listen to music.
Well. Music is shite, as Paul says. So there's
fuck
no point listening.
Fuck off. Last movie was great.
You should have a look at astropark.ie. They are our kind hosts here every week, and we're very, very happy to be based here, even though it is a little bit hot at the moment. Your day trippers tonight were Paul Brennan, Andy Young, Phil Casey, and myself, Trev Downey.
If that's shit, I'm not putting out. What? I felt like the worst podcast ever.
I couldn't agree with you more. It was like we were all like
tweet that we were going to the podcast, but shite season.
Actually, that would be the most day trippers thing ever. We put out 10 minutes because the rest of it was shit. Here's a 10-minute podcast. It was bollocks. The rest of it was bollocks. Seriously,
we were too warm. I didn't give a shit about the club. You know,
I reckon that'd be a nice principal stand. That was shy, and I wouldn't fucking bore you with it. We're not releasing it. Yeah. See us next week.